Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We're going to continue our studies in 1 Timothy, and today, in fact, we come to the last chapter of this first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 6. In chapter 5, Paul has been addressing issues concerning people in the church, that they should all be honoured and respected, whether they're old or young, men or women. And he's made a particular emphasis on the whole subject of widows, those who are especially needy and require support and help. He's also talked about the need to appoint elders who are mature and able to handle the responsibility of oversight of the local church. At the beginning of chapter 6, he's continuing this line of thinking by talking about people who employ others. And of course, in the social system outlook of the day, people who had slaves. Now, in Bible days, certainly people did have slaves, and even some Christians would have had slaves. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that these people were mistreated or abused. And as far as Christians were concerned, Paul in other places urges a very godly attitude, both of the master towards the slave, but also the way the slave should respect their believing master. But then he goes on to talk about some other issues. He talks about teaching sound doctrine, godly teaching, and avoiding unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels and arguments. And in verse 8, he just introduces some quite interesting thoughts. He talks about godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. If we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Just really bringing some insight and bringing some helpful thoughts to the fact that, yes, we've got to handle money, we've got to handle possessions, but we need to do so in such a way that it doesn't spoil the heart and the purity of our Christianity. That's why he makes this statement, which is often misquoted: the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Many people say money is the root of all kinds of evil. They've missed the point. It's the attitude, the way that we use money, that can bring about evil. Money in itself is not. And then there's a kind of a summing up, a final charge. You man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy is given this solemn charge. You need to be seen to be a fighter against evil, and you need to be someone tenacious for the truth. And yes, you have got to handle those who get obsessed with riches by pointing them to put their hope in God rather than in whatever wealth and possessions they accumulate. He says indeed, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what's falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Paul is just very, very concerned that Timothy should not be distracted, that he should not find himself in a unhelpful situation, but rather that he should be thoroughly committed to the task of presenting truth and Jesus to the church. We're going to pause, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to ask some more questions about 1 Timothy chapter 6.
tire and grow weak, and let your hearts fall asleep, when you know that there is one who will lift your face to the sun. Those who trust in the Lord will find their strength in you. Your troubles before they have been. He knows what it's like to be sad, but he'll lift you until you are glad. Those who trust in the Lord will find their strength in you. So rise up.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at some verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6. So as you said, Richard, it starts off really as a bit of a continuation from chapter 5, where he talks about slaves, and obviously slavery was very much part of the culture in which they lived in the days of the early church. Can we learn anything from that for our lives today?
Well, I think so, because essentially you get the impression that Paul is saying that if you have responsibility for someone else, whether they are a slave or whether they're an employee, you have got to exercise your Christianity in this very down-to-earth manner. The way you treat people, the way you pay people, the way that you care for people, the level of burden that you put upon them, the responsibilities you give them, it's got to be measured. And you've got to be able to face God one day and give account for how you looked after these people.
So in a day when slaves, you know, were quite likely not well treated because they were property and they could easily be mistreated, here was Paul's teaching really raising slaves up and say, actually, you need to look after these people.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that Paul is a champion for the slave and saying that they are valued by God. And therefore, if you employ them or have them under your jurisdiction, you must care for them properly.
Then we get on to this passage about the love of money. And you made the point, didn't you, that it's not money as such that he's saying is wrong, but the love of money.
Yes.
And what we very often see today in one verse, which again leaked out at me, was just the end of verse 5, where he talks of the dangers of those who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Now, today, that is still around, isn't it, in some elements of the church?
Yes, it very much is. I've met people, or certainly situations, where it seems that a motivation to be in Christian leadership is that it's a way of making money.
Mm.
It's a way of accumulating resources, status, and this, in fact, is rather destructive to the body of Christ.
Yeah. So where you have situations, you have churches, you have preachers, very often in our day, you know, you can find things on the internet that will tell you that if you're a good Christian and you do this, this and this, God will make you rich.
Yes, that message has come across to some, and really it's an intriguing message, because I travel amongst very, very poor people in the world, and quite frankly I find it almost an affront that these people are required to give in order to get blessed.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not generous. Some of these poorest of peoples can be incredibly generous with the little that they have. But the kind of deal with God that's presented, you do this and God's going to do that, is pretty challenging to a number of these people. I know that God does want us to prosper. I do believe God wants to bless us, and we want the best for God. But sometimes it just goes to an extreme, and I think that's what Paul is addressing here, the extreme.
So the rest of this chapter then is, you know, Paul, his last words, his final words to Timothy, you know, words of encouragement, words of exhortation. What did, just remind us what Timothy meant to Paul and the relationship between the two of them.
Yes, well, Paul had obviously spotted Timothy as a youngster, and he'd seen him grow up. He was obviously fairly near Timothy's family. And it may well be that he led Timothy to Christ. And he was a very different character, Timothy, to Paul. But Paul had a very soft spot for him, a great affection for him. And he's always wanted to encourage Timothy to be what God has called him to be. It reminds him of prophecies that have been spoken over him. So there's a really, I guess it's a big brother, almost like an uncle. I guess some might even say a father.
Yeah.
But there's a very real care for this young man to do and be the best that God wants him to be.
And we'll go on to see some more of that when we go on to look at the next letter to Timothy. But for now, Richard, thank you very much indeed. So, yes, join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word, and we'll pick up on the second letter to Timothy in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.